Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. We're sure you're familiar with the seven deadly sins, which are pride, greed, envy, anger, lust, gluttony, and slothfulness. Here are the seven kingdom virtues that overcome those seven deadly sins. Humility overcomes pride. Generosity overcomes greed. Love overcomes envy. Kindness overcomes anger. Self-control overcomes lust. Temperance overcomes gluttony. And zeal overcomes slothfulness. But on today's call, and maybe even for a couple of days, we're not going to talk about the seven deadly sins. We're going to talk about the seven deadly. That's D-E-B-T-L-Y. The seven deadly sins. Number one.
My background, circumstances, and surroundings determine my financial destiny. When we believe that our past determines our future, we're dismissing the power of God to change our lives. Yes, we're overlooking the greatest strategic relationship anyone could ever have. Well, and that's not a smart thing to do. Here are seven reasons why your background, circumstances, and surroundings do not determine your financial destiny. First, you are not living on a fixed income.
We recently sent a letter out teaching this.
Yes, indeed. And we've mentioned it too.
Yes.
Thinking that you live on a fixed income will cause you to fall into the traps of the enemy. And make no mistake about it, the enemy wants you thinking in terms of limitations. He wants you to believe that where you are is where you're going to stay the rest of your life. He wants you to believe that you have no choice in your destiny. And that is just a lie, straight from Satan. Straight from Satan. And he cannot have his way. Here's the reality. The world system and or the government, really, may place limitations on your income, but God, hallelujah, never will. Mark 9:23 in God's Word translation says, Jesus said to him, as far as possibilities go, everything is possible for the person who believes. This scripture just ignites our faith and stirs our spirit to new levels of expectation, and we hope it does you too. Everything is possible for the person, that's you, who believes. Some time ago, we shared that nothing is impossible, but we need at least to continually remind ourselves of the truth found in God's Word. And truthfully, reading the Word every day bolsters you, brings you up to date for the day. That's why we continually remind you that there is no limitation to manifestation. The Message Bible translation of Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said, if there are no ifs among believers, anything can happen. If all things are possible, then anything, no matter how illogical to the mind, can happen in our lives as we exercise our faith and believe. Of course, it has to line up with the Word of God. Hello. But the scripture also says there's nothing impossible. Nothing impossible to those who believe. Luke 1:37, Classic Amplified. 1:37 says, for with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. As a child of God who functions with the mind of Christ, isn't that what Jesus said we had in the Word? Each of us need to understand that there is nothing impossible to those who believe. Matthew 17:20, Classic Amplified. For truly I say to you, if you have faith that is living like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to yonder place, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you.
Hallelujah. Second, eliminate the poverty mentality. Poverty is the devil's anointing. Poverty, Poverty happens inside us before it ever happens around us. Poverty will not keep you out of heaven, but it may keep others out. Poverty is a dream destroyer. Dream destroyer. There is something worse than poverty. It's the reason behind poverty. It's called poor thinking. A poverty mentality will hold a person hostage to the belief that there's no other choice, no way out, and that's totally an unscriptural philosophy. Being poor is a choice, anywhere in the world, but especially in the United States. A person or family may have chosen to live in poverty. Well, let me say it this way. They may not have chosen to live in poverty, but they definitely accepted the situation and have chosen to stay there. For too long, too many Christians have believed this lie of the devil. Satan says some people are destined to be poor and some people are destined to be rich. And there's nothing anyone can do about either circumstance. This satanic lie has crippled God's people for a long time. It's time that everyone learn and walk in the truth. Deuteronomy 15, 4 and 5. 15, 4 and 5, Classic Amplified. But there will be no poor, there will be no poor among you. I want to say that again. But there will be no poor among you. For the Lord will surely bless you in the land in which the Lord your God gives you for an inheritance to possess, if only you carefully listen to the voice of the Lord your God to do watchfully all these commandments which I command you this day. So let's kind of put this in perspective. First, there will be no poor among you. Second, the Lord will bless you. Third, God has given you an inheritance to possess. Fourth, if only. Fifth, if you listen to his voice. Sixth, to do all his commandments. Seventh, which he will give you this day. I'd say that's seven pretty powerful things about those scriptures in Deuteronomy 15, 4 and 5.
Third, gain the victory over the victim mentality, or shall I call it the victim complex? Have you ever been around people who entertain you, that sounds better than whine, with stories of the latest mishap, tragedy, calamity, problem, or circumstance that's attacked them? I'm hoping that you don't hang around folks like that. But anyway, it's an absolute fact that you can't be a victim and move forward in life. If your self-image is of someone who is, well, being continually victimized, and that's what you confirm to people around you, it will result in a becoming, listen to this carefully, a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're going to end up repelling love, deferring happiness, attracting illness and injury, sabotaging any financial or business success. Unfortunately, you will be attracting like things into your life. Every time we make excuses, something happens to us. But we have a choice in life to be a victim or a victor, but we can't be both. By all means, we need to stop looking back and rehashing whatever's happened in the past. Luke 9:62 in the Contemporary English Version says, Jesus answered, anyone who starts plowing and keeps looking back isn't worth a thing to God's kingdom. Now, I want you to hear very clearly that people with a victim mentality are always going to be poor and disappointed. That's just what happens. We don't need to complain about anything that you and I and God can change. You and God make a majority, and that can change things.
Fourth, never stop. Well, let me just say that instead of saying it that way, let me see it positively. Fourth, stop making negative confessions. Your words will either bring reward or punishment. Our destiny is not determined by what we do, but what we say as well. Proverbs 12:14, Contemporary English Version. We are rewarded and punished for what we say and do. Our words have consequences. We decide whether they are good or evil. Proverbs 18:20, Classic Amplified. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and with the consequence of his words, he must be satisfied, whether good or evil. Words will either bring life or death to us, but the decision is all ours. Proverbs 18:21, next verse, in the Message Bible. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit, you choose. If you feel like you have nothing to give, don't say it. The words that you speak either empower or disable the blessings of God. Angels respond to his word, which is why we should only be speaking words of faith over our finances.
Amen.
Regardless of our current situation. You might want to read Psalm 103:20. There have been times that we've been so broke, honey, we couldn't pick up all the pieces.
That's true.
But we never said that. We never said that we didn't have anything to give. And no surprise, God he made a way so that we always had something to give.
Mm.
Sadly, there is a shortage mentality where the immediate subconscious response is, I have nothing to give. That's not true unless you believe it and confess it to be so. 2 Corinthians 9:10, Classic Amplified. And God who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifests itself and active goodness, kindness, and charity. The key phrase in this verse is that God will provide seed for the sower. If you're not a sower, then he's not providing. When you change how you think, let me say that again. When you change how you think.
Amen.
And what you speak, then you'll never have to worry about saying things you shouldn't. Proverbs 18:20, Contemporary English Version says, make your words good. You'll be glad you did.
Hallelujah.
How do you make your words good? Mm. By speaking the word of God.
Hallelujah.
Well, time's up for today, but we'll continue this conversation tomorrow.
Mm.
Hallelujah. 7 deadly sins. This is good stuff.
It is good stuff.
If you're blessed by the teaching or the ministry, go to heraldhearing.com. Click the button that says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you
sow. Yes.
Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.